Hey, what's happening? What's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. In the last podcast, we talked about pattern compensation as a more rare form of incident motivation, but still something that happens more or less every year. Today, I want to continue this aspect and talk about claim response. If you read any of my scientific papers, you have come across that term quite a few times. As with pattern compensation, this new bite motivation deals with the reaction of the shark during the incident. Or differently put, the shark claims something. What he claims, of course, is the person. So what happens here? Unfortunately, I can't show you pictures, but all these pictures would have a single denominator. It has several bites. In pattern compensation, we have several bites as well, so at least two bites, and always on different body parts. During claim response, we also have different body parts involved, not necessarily so, but we have always a minimum of about three bites, and very often we have legs or arms without flesh, so total flesh removed. And sadly, but true, the outcome of these bites are always fatal. And there is something else that is always happening or always part of a claim response. Another person was always there when this scenario occurred. So it's this last sentence here that is crucial. Let's go through an example. A person swims and is bitten by a shark. Shark may have bitten due to exploratory behavior. The shark lets go right away, but since it does not confirm what the shark thought, it may likely stick around because of the novelty of the object and the situation. It's wrong to assume that the shark swims off once it bit a person, but you can still find that assumption all over the internet. This wrongful assumption is called hit and run. Hit and run doesn't exist, but I will still talk about this classification in the next episode. So again, let's go back to the situation. The shark bit the person, let's say, on the leg. The person screams, the shark remains at the site. Now it happens that a lifeguard or a bystander hears the shout of the victim and rushes out there to fetch it. The shark sees the rescuer approaching and just watches what happens. Normally, what happens is that the person is removed. The victim is removed from the very place where the incident occurred. So the rescuer may try to pull the victim onto a board or into a dinghy or just swims back to shore with the victim. Although the shark does not know what the bitten person is, it likely can't accept that this object is now removed from the area because it was there first, hence the shark started to fight over the person. Should the rescuer keep pulling, the shark will likely do the same, and of course in opposite direction. This is comparable to tug of war, where the victim, unfortunately, is the rope. So you can imagine, the harder the rescuer tries, the more resistance he gets from the shark. I have worked several incidents over the years where this likely scenario fit best. So there is something else when we assume it's a claim response. The intensity of the wounds, the severity of the wounds. There's one particular aspect of it. When I see this type of wound, I already know it's a claim response. This is when, for example, a lower limb, a lower arm, leg, whatever, is completely free of flesh. We call it peeled, like an orange, peel an orange. When I see a peeled or missing limb, part of it at least, I most likely conclude that claim response was the reason behind. How does it work? I mean, how can you peel? When a leg is peeled, an arm is peeled, there's always a force that works against the victims. For example, the lifeguard tries to pull the victim onto the boat and the shark, of course, tries to avoid that and pulls in the opposite direction. Or, for example, let's just do an example. The lower leg, let's say, has been peeled. So, a shark most likely grabbed the lower leg. Jaw is below the knee. So, the rescuer now lifts the victim out of the water and the shark hangs there like a dead weight below the knee. So the more the rescuer pulls, the more the weight increases because the shark is not pulled out of the water. So it starts to peel the flesh off the lower leg. That's how you should picture it. So with one exception, of course, whenever we have a peeled leg, a peeled arm, chances are it was claim response. So what is the single situation where it's not, must not be the case? Well, this is when you, for example, have a shark bites a lower arm of a person and the person is very strong and just lifts the shark out of the water or really pulls it quickly away from the shark, and then you can get a peeled lower arm as well. Then, of course, it is not a claim response. Nevertheless, I hope you start to get an idea how claim response works. So again, you have at least three bites. They can be at different body parts, but must not. They are superficial to very severe wounds. And if you see a peeled limb, then of course you could conclude or start with the idea that a claim response is at work here. I just mentioned motivation. The motivation is for the shark to keep the person in the water. So in these wounds that can be superficial, severe, whatever, it's always the same motivation. So it's kind of hard to understand how the same motivation can create different types of wounds. Well, mind you, it's a struggle. So in a struggle, the shark has to adapt its jaws because the person is pulled away. So it depends who is, how strong the pulling goes. Does it have timeouts in between because the rescuer has to re-grab the person? So because of that, the wound pictures can look very differently. And of course, some of these wounds then may just be very superficial. So if I could prevent here that claim response ever would occur, I would suggest that always two people rescue a shark victim. Why is that? If you have two people, one is, of course, the victim's handler, and the other one is the shark handler. The shark handler, of course, has to jump in and deal with the shark, and his prime or his sole reason to be in there is to try to shift the shark's attention onto himself. So the first thing is what a victim shark handler does is go between the victim and the shark. Should the shark try to get around the person and more or less towards the person, again, the lifeguard has to intercept the shark and swim between the animal and the victim. And this continues until the shark starts to focus on the position of the rescuer, is focusing on the rescuer. Once this is established, the rescue attempt can begin. We talked about this in the past, how safely withdraw yourself and the victim in tow. I don't really want to go into this again, so just check one of the last Let's Talk Shark episode where I really go into this, and it's really a straightforward approach. Nevertheless, claim response is an accident cause that could be avoided. I mentioned that already, but unfortunately, it also goes against the way we deal with harm. Whenever someone is in distress and hurt, we try to help the person as quickly as possible. And that includes a person who has been bitten by a shark. So the only way to get around this instilled desire to help is to condition oneself to follow a different rule and not so simple task, but feasible. Although no person knows when such could happen, I believe that anybody who comes in contact with an injured person due to a shark, like beach guards, should be aware of this and drill it into their brains. But not just understanding these scenarios are important to rescue personnel, but all the other interaction scenarios with sharks should be known to them as well, at least the most common ones. Beach rescuer, first responders that can deal, may deal with sharks down the road, should be made aware what to do, how to handle, how to watch, how to interpret the situation, and then, of course, hope that they never have to really follow up on it in the water. But not knowing is even worse. But unfortunately, even if we learn something, after a year or so, 2 years, you can hardly remember. So you have to take the class again, over and over. And unfortunately, that should be part of any rescue personnel when it comes to sharks. That's it for today. tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day, and if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege to be among them. Okay, that's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day. And if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege to be among them.